extra staff to speak up. We are looking at finally hiring our news director this fall and a program director in January. But we've been without a program director this year, and quite frankly, some of us feel that we're kind of slipping because of the lack. So between that and the rent increase, we needed additional revenues, and so the development staff, they felt comfortable with these numbers.
On the major donation, if I could just jump in, because the KPFA was meeting on that particular category, and our business manager told us that based on her conversations with Lonnie, that major donation category is limited to bequests and planned giving. So, Lonnie, it seems to me that you need to explain once and for all to all of us what's supposed to go in here, because, see, this thing about anything over $500 not in a drive, I thought that was thrown out as a modus operandi over a year ago.
Yeah, that would be accurate. That is the major donor category here. We're talking about CPB category. Business support is the primary mechanism that CPB uses to determine what the allotment is for the station. So they're very strict around it. Consider all funds. They don't separate major donor from listener support. They say all funds that come in that major donor category will eventually end up and should be included in listener support. That's also what the auditor does, by the way, no matter what we do. Look at what the auditor does in these audits. You'll see that's exactly what they do. Now, the issue of
bequests and planned giving?
Planned giving. That is an exception. They consider that to be a separate item, and they don't insist that it be included as part of listener support. And their goal, of course, they don't want to pay for those extraordinary efforts you might make. Now, the reason we show it, and it's not just for this, many organizations, they're most nonprofits, that the development officers want to see in these financials what the efforts, what their efforts have brought forth. So they like to see the donor category. And most of the time, we try to accommodate that, so that's why it's there. So to answer the question, it all goes into the same pot from the auditor and the CPB point of view, and it is something that the station should want to be included because it increases their allotment when it's in the list of support category.
So it's not a money grab by the national office.
Yes, Mark, I heard it. No, it's not a money grab. But it's the thought.
I have a question. I'm still not clear. So the definition, can you just give me the definition of what is a major donor now again, Lonnie?
Well, we generally run with any donation over $500, whether it's in the drive or not in the drive.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the development people want to see how, you know, their efforts, they want to show boards what their efforts have created. So we accommodate by having that line there.
Can I ask a quick follow-up, please?
Yeah.
I also understand, is there has something to do with the person not receiving a premium with that $500? Does premium come anywhere in the thought, or?
No, I have no. Okay. I'm not aware, at least.
Okay.
Can I just clarify the? I had been told that there was not a central services assessment on major donors. Did anybody already say that? What is the state? Is that accurate?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm aware of, Dave. Some stations, and we're talking to business managers about it, don't want to pay central services on major donors. And I think we're talking about KPFA here. And we have, because we've got some other gray areas that we haven't tackled it, but we are aware of it. So I won't go into it on the phone, but yes, it's an issue.
We need to know one way or another what the policy is, because you can't calculate
policy.
Your budget properly
policy.
Without it.
Yeah,
there isn't one, Dave. We're going to have a National Finance Committee resolution decide what we want and recommend to the PMB a definitive policy on major donation central service allocations.
If that's the case, then if that takes effect on this year's budget, it happens too late for it to impact the way they've decided to budget. So we kind of have to give guidance right now as to whether or not yay or nay. No?
Well, I guess.
Yes.
I think it's already too late for this year's budget.
And point of information, Lonnie, it's interesting that you should say A, because my understanding has been ever since the new business manager got there, she was told, don't play that game, and they have reclassified everything over $500 that came from fund drives into listener support. So I'm really shocked.
Thank you, Marty.
That you
I
say that
I
we're
did.
Still doing that, because if
yeah.
we are, I'm going right back to the business manager, and I don't think we are.
You're right. I remember that now. I'm sorry. You're right. I remember now that that did come up. We did deal with it. I had forgotten that it had been resolved.
Well, I know.
I'm almost certain, Casey. Weren't we operating under the assumption that that major donor line represented anything over $500 and wasn't subject to central services assessment?
That was the assumption we were operating under.
As long as it didn't come during the fund drive.
I hadn't heard that.
Not the thing.
Well, WBAI is working under the same assumption, too.
Well, what about the mail drop?
Rudy, when you say the same assumption, which of the three that just got said is the same as yours?
Okay. The assumption that anything on that falls into the major donor line is not subject to central services assessment. So our number for...
What definition were you using for what could be slotted there?
$500 or above.
At any time, Baruti?
Well, like I said, I had a whole... Now, my recollection was that if there was no premium associated with it, you know, I didn't get the drive or non-drive. My assumption was that if there was no premium associated with it, the $500 pledge or larger pledge, then it was a major donation. It wasn't, they weren't, you know, they weren't...
Yeah, I never heard the premium caveat before, but I have heard the drive caveat. Which one is it, Lonnie?
Wait, I'd like to know what stations did. PFW, did you assume that whatever you put in that line is or is not subject to central services?
It's not subject.
Okay.
Outside of the line. Sorry,
I'm
James.
I'm saying that it is. We have a point of view.
And you're saying that it is, Lonnie?
Yes.
So then I suspect this committee is going to need to make a motion to that effect to the PMB to resolve. And it sounds like every state, I know we made the assumption it was not. What did the other three stations do? Baruti, did you say it's subject or not subject?
Not subject.
And Sandy? Sandy, are you there?
Can I chime in with something?
Please do.
If it turns out that the major donations other than planned giving and bequests is classified as listener support, then I think that we need to list it on our budgets and statements as under listener support we have general contributions and then major donors, and then we have a separate line item that says the planned giving and bequests. I mean, if indeed it is considered listener support for CPB.
Well, that will have to be in the motion when we make it.
Okay.
I mean, what you're proposing is a good idea, but we've got to deal with our current situation.
But,
no?
Dave, we don't have time to make that change and implement a national budget for approval by September. I think we're going to have to take it up next year.
That's why I'm asking what did everybody do, because I think when this committee recommends the consolidated budget, it is going to, I mean, we're hearing clearly that Lonnie has a difference of opinion on this than the stations have budgeted. That is going to have to be rolled into our motion whichever way we decide. That's my point.
Well, why don't we just assume the status quo and change it next year? I don't think we can do it this year and ask the national budget to present a budget by Thursday.
I agree completely. I'm just saying that we have to establish that has to be eventually. It need not be on this call. We can do it next week when we use our, but we have to do it. We have to be clear what we're doing, because you don't want to get through and then say, no, the assumption was wrong. That we have to clarify.
Can I get a point of information, Lonnie? The CPB does not regulate what gets assessed central services, though, does it?
No, but it does regulate what gets called listener support.
All right. So if most of our worksheets appear to take 20% of the listener support line and use that as our budgeted central services amount, there's nothing that I know of that says that that's inappropriate.
Agreed.
That's true. And see, actually, the way the budgets are constructed is that they don't really take the major donor line for central services purposes anyway, even though properly it should be the case. So the budgets are really based on their listener support line. If you talk to your business managers, that's what most of them do.
That's right.
Well, Mr. Chair, then what I would ask the CFO to clarify, because when we heard from our BM, our business manager, it was the understanding that if it occurred outside a drive, and so they went back and reallocated all 500-plus outside a drive and are expecting that to go into major donations and then use that altered figure to decide what major donations should be projected for the 06 fiscal year. If they are doing that improperly, and the assumption is that if it's not a bequest or the other thing, that it doesn't happen, then everyone needs to know that so we're on the same page with what that major donation projection should be.
It really has to do with this fiscal year also, because the position that they were taking is that we are really going to end up with 20,000 in major donors for this
exactly.
year. It's just that we haven't submitted all the proper paperwork to have it reallocated, because everything initially goes into listener support. So, in other words, if we do track it correctly as major donor, whatever it is that we think it's supposed to mean, which is what, in our case, it's what Mark told you, then it's going to mean a little less in central services income, which is going to affect the national office. So,
or more importantly, if PFW approved a budget where we had a major donation line in this fiscal year, 05, a major actual of $600, and a projected of 24,000, which obviously rang all kinds of bells, and we're told by management, well, it's really going to be 20 once CFO and the national office reallocates our expenditures, understanding
right.
that would reduce listener support by 20,000,
right.
but we adjusted for that. But we're going to really major donations with 20,000, so that's how we feel confident it will be 24, and we approve it, only to find out that, no, it really was $663, then we're already $20,000 outside of what we thought we were. That's the problem. That's why, Lonnie, you have to let your BMs know.
There's a bigger problem. There's a bigger problem, which is it sounds like each station is doing this differently.
Yeah.
This is LaVorne. Just a point of information. I think we kind of discussed this about maybe it was a year ago, maybe it was early this year, because I had thought with KPFA, right, that we had always shown, well, not always, but for a certain period, we showed the anything over $500 is major donations, and then that was changed for last year. But, you know, I was looking at the national office, and I'm just curious with why you would put your donations yours and donations versus listener support. Of course, you're not getting a central service on national, but just curious as to why you would have it in donations versus in listener support.
That's another one of those CPB arcane requirements. They don't consider the national office to be capable of listener support. Remember, they consider only the stations capable of.
Well, see, that's also a good question, because a number of people have raised the issue about our mission being listener supported versus, and then this whole purple campaign you went to going to lists that were perhaps outside of the listeners. But of course, there are a lot of listeners in there, because there's another issue there in terms of going to the list that it contained a lot of listeners, and listeners I know have complained to me even during the fund drives that they've already given money to the national office versus giving money to KPFA during a fund drive. So, you know, that's an issue that we need to really tackle too. We don't have to do it at this time.
Yeah, speaking of don't have to do it at this time, I think there are so many issues around this that we would be in danger of eating up our whole time on this, and while we do have to clarify it, we're still talking about a relatively small impact in terms of how much we're paying in central services.
Mr. Chair, can we at least put it on a future agenda so we can resolve the definitions of that revenue component?
Well, I was actually going to go a step further and ask that each station treasurer to take the responsibility for writing down the way in which their budget assumption was in their budget, so that we have all of that written down and include any proposals that people would have for consideration when we do that, so that when we do that on the next call, we're sort of good to go right out of the box. Would people
Great idea.
Do that?
Great idea.
Sure.
That was a great plan. Could I also, if we could, finish the roundtable on the stations?
Right.
Well, I was here
and I had been asking my questions about WPFW. I'm happy to yield the floor. I had several questions, but I don't mind yielding the floor to anybody else.
Yeah, Marty, leave WPFW alone.
No.
This is LaVarne. I just have a quick question.
Well, what's the point of the NFC looking at budgets if you want us to leave them alone?
I
know.
It's helpful because it's bringing out things that are affecting other stations. So
yeah, it is.
May we proceed? This is LaVarne. So on your program director, you're planning to bring the person on board in January of 2006. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's only 3/4 of the budget.
Yeah, I think it's 50,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So we were doing DFW now. Has DFW been largely completed?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Jane.
I have a quick question for W.
Well, let's ask Jane. Jane, are we done? Do you have anything further?
No. We were just answering questions.
Okay. Go ahead, Lonnie.
Well, just a quick question, Mark. Jane, you know, what about, so you will be staying in place in that building for 2 years? Is that the current scenario?
The current budget is based on the assumption that we will stay for 2 years. So we had a pretty solid estimate for what the rent increase would be if we stayed there for 2 years.
But no plans for, any plans for a capital campaign?
Yeah,
might take 2 years to get it off the ground.
Well, not to get it off the ground, but to get it in the air, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ronnie, we're going to be leaning on National to help in that respect, and along with all the other stations. The capital campaign is not, you know, a national capital campaign is not based solely on a local effort, but we're going to do everything we can to begin to raise funds. It's going to cost us a lot. Real estate in Washington, D.C. is hot. We have to stay in Washington, D.C., the national board indicated in January would prefer for all stations to own their facility, not lease it, and that's a problem for us. And so right now the best we could do with the lease running up in November was negotiate the landlord down to the lease we could get for a two-year extension.
We did look at a lot of different possibilities. They all would have been more expensive. And none of them was so compelling that we felt like we needed to move on it immediately.
I'm sorry, Jane. Go on.
I just wanted to say that that the staff and a number of board members have been doing a lot of work this year looking into options, and I think there's an expectation that needs to continue happening. But at this point, the sense that the staff and the board members have is that we should be looking at a minimum two-year time frame to raise the necessary capital for not only for a down payment but also for the needed improvements, the build out.
That's what I was going to say. The build out is the thing.
Exactly.
We found a couple of warehouses at maybe $7-$8 a square foot. But the estimated build out would have raised that price to about $26-$27 a square foot, because we have to build studios, all that kind of stuff, and that was a problem for us because we don't have the money. We're talking about maybe $1.5 million, down payment of about $250,000. We don't have it. The network doesn't have it. So we want to sign the lease and give ourselves 2 years to get into a capital campaign mode.
Okay, well, we can talk offline. You mentioned national office, and I think we should start thinking now, 2 years.
We've got to.
All right.
Okay. This is LaVarne. Just a quick question. See, this is one of the reasons why we continue to ask for a budget for the national office, because, you know, we want to know, is there a development director in there that would assist the PFW in the capital campaign? So, you know, it kind of leaves us, like, open, and also PFW. Thank you.
Good thought.
This is Marnie. I had another question. Your community event income is jumping by 523%. How come?
We're finally going to do some.
I don't think it. I think it's a jump maybe over what we're seeing for this year. But if you go back 1 year,
okay.
Is it
That's
not
true.
That? I think that this year we didn't have any of the normal. We normally have one or two Amy events, one or two Gary events. This is the way the development director explained it. In addition, we have some really, really dynamic board members who are really into helping with community events, and I see it happening.
Yeah, in 2004 you raised $19,000.
Okay, so it just wasn't showing up in the June numbers that we plugged into that formula. Okay.
And I just want to add in this lull before we move to the next station that Jane has done an incredible job as treasurer. She's on top of everyone. She asks a lot of questions. So I just want to give her a public shout out.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome. You're awesome, Jane.
Thank you.
We shout.
We all do our best. Sometimes the best is a little better than others.
Yeah, another thing I noticed on the WPFW budget is that you had consultants this year and you're showing no consultants next year.
That's because we did not hire a news director as originally planned. What happened is that we had an interim GM for a long time, and then he was hired on, and quite honestly, in part because we didn't have an HR person to kind of guide the whole process along. We had a lot of turmoil this past year concerning the news signature, and so he hired somebody from in-house as a consultant, and basically that's something that's really not acceptable under our union rules for a permanent position like that to be handled as a consulting position. So that was ended, that was terminated, and now we're moving to hire a news director, I think, by November, I believe.
Yeah. But also, Jane. Also, Jane, all the stations should know, the LSB looked into that also and flexed its muscle and said no more consultant hires.
And then your development expenses are increasing by 10%. And your listener support is increasing by 11.3, so your development expenses are increasing by a nice number.
We're trying to get smarter.
Yeah, we had a lot of conversation at our LSB level about development expenses. There was a number of members who felt that we should be using the archives more as premiums, and the development director. Well, she supports that idea in terms of translating the idea into action with the individual programmers, actually making it happen. She had a different perspective, which is that she's working on getting the programmers on a very, you know, very disciplined schedule, working with her to identify premiums they think will work for their listeners. So that number, she originally had proposed an even higher number for development expenses, but she pared it down. She's encouraged to pare it down, and she seems to have a plan to do that, to keep that number down.
You know, one thing, Jane, I would like to add to what you just said, and I would encourage all the stations to look at their premium expenses. Now, I looked at the percentage of expenses that are absorbed by premiums for all the stations. The highest stations are Texas and D.C., in part because we have a heavier music load, and a lot of our premiums are music products, and we get them, you know, maybe at wholesale, maybe a little over wholesale in order to satisfy. One of the stations that has been very successful at reducing its premium expenses has been KPFK. in part because of its utilization of the archives in order to create products. If we're donating, which we currently do, all of our KU band income and all of our affiliate income to the affiliates, to the archives rather, in order for it to grow, we as stations need to be leading on that facility to create projects that we can promote that will reduce our costs. It's our end child. So we should be using them more and record companies and other outside vendors less.
The other thing on development costs that mentioned was the Democracy Now! In the past has been a little more organized about letting us know what premiums were going to be promoted, and that maybe some national effort on coordinating with that show in terms of premiums would be helpful in keeping those costs down.
And then the final observation I had is in the cash and capital section, and Lonnie, I think you really have to give us guidance on what that has to look like, because the way PFW is laid out is different than the way KPFA is laying itself out. I don't care which way it's laid out, as long as we all agree. But as I look at the way WPFW is laid out, it doesn't necessarily look like they're meeting the surplus reserve requirement. Am I misreading something? It shows that you have. Am I reading that wrong?
We have a separate line item, right?
Oh, sorry.
The very last expense line item before the cash and capital section, it shows 1 month reserve, I think.
It's a renegade format.
Right.
Yeah.
So
we need
to all get on the same sheet of music on it.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. They do show their 1 month clearly in the budget, and it's labeled 1 month, but you're correct.
And we had a lot of problems with that. And I mean, just in terms of plugging in the projections into the budget, because I originally set it up, plug in the May projections, and then, okay, we got June, so let's plug these numbers in. But it involved a lot of shuffling around because the income statement doesn't match the same format as the budget. I'm sure everybody knows that already.
But Dave is going to change that, aren't you, Dave?
Absolutely.
We're going to have uniformity in 06. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And we're going to have some new line items, I think.
Is there anything else, Marnie?
No, that's it.
Okay, let's go on to the next station if there's nothing further.
Well, there's KPFT is the other one that we have in front of us.
I think we should do all of them.
How can we do ones that we don't have in front of us?
I can tell you, for example, for KPFK, we can talk about our major lines. Lonnie sent out an email where he did some projections. We can inform you about the important things, the important big numbers about the budget. And I suspect A can and so can I. So I think we should go around and do that. I think that's critical because Lonnie's saying he needs to have a sense of what his central services is going to be to move on the national budget, and I think we can all provide that.
Do we have time to go through T in detail now before we...
Mr. Chair, I disagree. I think that if a station has not approved this budget, then I don't want to discuss it.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. The agenda calls for us to discuss each budget line right now, so let's just go to T and then we'll proceed from there.
Okay.
So, Sandy?
Yeah. Everybody hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yep.
Hello?
I can hear you.
Okay, thanks. Didn't know if it was muted or not. Sorry. Our budget is a very healthy budget, and I think I had a little heartburn about making the revenue numbers, but a couple of things happened on the very positive side, and that heartburn went away. I'll tell you, it was like kicking a little blue pill. Our projected revenue for 06 is $1.566 million. Which is up about 10% over last year. It includes less listener support than last year, so we're going to have an on-air dependency that's slightly lower. We're moving in the right direction. The income is coming from, one, increased monies from community events, about $22,000 more than last year, largely based on board activities, including a gala that's being planned for what will be KPFT's 31st anniversary in Houston next year. So that planning is starting, I believe, this coming week, and we're going to get this thing whipped up and hopefully get something that's pretty meaningful and create quite a bit of income for ourselves. The other bit of income, the real good news that we received, was from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, our CSG grant. We have a line item here of $171,228, but earlier in this call, Lonnie said that that might grow significantly. So I'm looking forward to hearing what Lonnie has to say about that. Lonnie, I think you mentioned a number closer to $250,000.
No, 200,000.
200,000. Okay, so there's 29,000 to the good, and of course, a percentage of that will be shuttled away immediately to Free Speech Radio News, and then there might be a little more discretionary income there to work with. Salaries are pretty much flat from where they were last year. There is a small cost of living increase built into this year's budget, and I want to say that's 3%. But in total, we're looking at growing the station on the revenue side. On the expense side, a couple of things to note. We have a travel budget this year to national board meetings, which is a good thing, so we can actually send folks from the local board to those meetings within a station budget. We've doubled the local board budget. Instead of having $100 a month, we now have $200 a month. And we have found a real good place for that. That's for a parliamentarian. We've invited a parliamentarian to participate in our local meetings, and it has helped move our meetings much, much more expeditiously. And I'm hoping that we can retain that gentleman's services and stay on that pace. That's more.
Sandy, how much was that allocation? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. How much?
We have $200 a month, $2,400 a year.
Okay.
Allocated to the local station board. Last year was $1,200. Okay. Our line 6620, which is property and sales taxes, we have $8,600 allocated. KPFT has gone through some interesting macerations with the city of Houston. It appealed to the city to drop taxes against us because of our 501c3 status. We actually won that appeal before I don't know what the right word is, subcommittee of the Houston City board, and then the board overturned the decision of the subcommittee. We're now appealing that, and so there's some upside there. We budgeted $8,600 for property taxes. If that doesn't come into focus, if we're able to win our appeal, then we stand to benefit there. But we budgeted for that happenstance, so we've dug our own little foxhole, Lonnie. Free Speech Radio News was given around $22,000 last year by KPFT. This year's number in the current budget without the increase in CPB funding is $51,300. I think we're all on the same page on our local station board about backing Free Speech Radio News and making sure that they're well funded in order to grow that program. We've also increased our direct mail line in the development expense side. We're going to do an extra acquisition mailing this year. So we're doing a couple of big acquisition mailings, which is, by the way, another avenue for bringing in funds. We were successful this last summer sizzler, an 8-day drive that ended about 8 hours early and went just slightly over budget as we pulled the plug on it in obtaining overdrive funds, where we're making an appeal to listeners by email to contribute in advance or during pledge drive so that they're making their contributions through another avenue. And I believe we took in about $14,000 out of the $180,000 that we raised in the 8-day period. So again, the acquisition mailing is just another form of outreach by our development director, Donna Platt, to increase the flow of funds through alternative areas. Those are the highlights from our budget. I should also note at the end here, where our adjusted income line shows a pad of $108,000, which is about 1 month's operating reserve. So we're all balanced up here, and we're looking for a real good year for tea, and hopefully we can do a little bit better than what we have budgeted here. I'm optimistic. Our Arbitron numbers took a good bounce after some programming changes, and as I said, the last two drives now have hit their goal, the last one ahead of schedule. Any questions?
Yeah, I do. I wanted to ask you about your web income, and I'm sorry to jump in, but I have to get ready for I have to go eat before my meeting at 8. But I did want to ask you, Sandy, on the web income portion, are you segregating your web income separately on your income line?
Well, our web income, our web marketing line in this budget shows zero, but in fact we are, it's not segregated, no. Okay.
Okay, and I'm wondering, Lonnie, is web income accessible by essential services or not?
Well, we have an other income line, and that includes some web income there. That's where that appears in our budget.
Right, but since all of us are pushing in the direction of web income, I'm wondering, essential services allocated for web income, Lonnie?
Yeah, in the end it will be, but in the budget it's not.
Okay, so...
The reasoning it's not in our budget is that it's not proven revenue. And so we were trying to base our revenue projections on proven revenue only. So next year, 07, you may see something that's a little bit different. But this year, we just put that into the category of other, and it lined up with other from the previous year within reasonable projection.
Right.
However, the balance of that income, we're hoping will come from other sources like the web.
Well, I think that's great, but one thing that Lonnie just said, which will be an incentive to all of us, is that web income is not taxable. I hate to use that phrase, but you know what I mean, Lonnie, right?
Actually, I think, Mark, that you mean it's not taxed. It's all taxable. But it's
well,
not
it's not taxed.
He's talking about central services.
Right. It's not. It's not assessed. Is that correct,
right,
Lonnie?
CPB will consider it all to be listener income, but in our budgeting process, we do not include it for the calculation.
All right,
but
CPB included it in the budget, and they taxed themselves, so you can change that.
Well, yeah, but CPB
taxes. Well, we need some clarification on whether we actually pay essential services on that, because I can imagine that... you know, people making donations through the website is going to be considered listener support.
Yeah,
but
people are driven to those websites on the buy on air solicitation.
Right, but that if they're buying certain products from the website, that would be other income. That would not be listener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think it's
something... I mean, they can actually buy things from the website, can't they?
Yeah. I think it's something that we'll have to consider when we go through that, but I just wanted to put it out there because that might be a way to push the network towards more web financing, at least initially, give them a year or so, and then slap on central services. But, I mean, I wanted to just also thank KPFT for the spirit they've shown this year. When they had some financial difficulties, you guys came together, you came in with a plan, minimized discord, and I really I wouldn't want to applaud you on that. I was proud of what you did.
Well, I think that, you know, we had a lot of great volunteers at the station that helped with that, and the local station board really did come together, and our management was just super. But thanks. We'll take that as a nice compliment.
Further comments?
Yeah. Kind of information. Is there a phone number that you can call for? If you are going to pay for the call yourself, or is it the same number? Or you still charge the 4 cents a minute? Hello, Lonnie.
There is a phone number, but I don't know it.
Lonnie, do you know it?
Not off the top of my head, Laverne.
Okay, fine. I'm going to go into my cell phone, so I'm just letting you know.
All right, everyone, I want to leave. I want to thank you. I really enjoyed this call. I'm sorry I have to go. It's always stimulating. And once again, congratulations, Dave, and I mean that, although it may not feel that way, okay? Take care.
Can I do a time check here?
If we're done with KPFT, I'd like to go to each of the stations that is not yet submitted and have them inform us of where they are and what their top line number is and their bottom line number.
Can I go next, WBI?
Please do.
Okay, we're reduced our projected income from our prior year budget about $349,000, with the bulk of the reduction being in listener support. We cut that about $365,000. We had some increases on some other lines to help us offset some of that.
Levarne Williams.
One of the areas we're anticipating growth over our projections for the current year is in the area of major donations. So, but overall, like I said, our income is down. We reduced our projected income about almost $350,000. And, of course, we had to reduce expenses accordingly. The bulk of those reductions are in the salaries and related line, fringe benefits. We've had some increase in some of the other lines, but we reduced our expenses accordingly. We also factored into our budget $150,000 to repay any support that we might have to receive to fulfill our commitments for the balance of this year. But in doing so, we were not able to generate a one-month reserve. So as a result, in addition to the LSB approving the budget for the following fiscal year, we're also requesting a waiver in order that we meet that, in order that we not be out of compliance without, basically without approval.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. This is Sandy. I have to drop off. Thank you. I'll rejoin later.
Thank you, Sandy. Bertie, can you explain something that maybe Lonnie can clarify when you talk about that one-month reserve? In the email Lonnie sent, for example, let me back up. When we're talking about this one-month reserve, what we're meaning functionally is that the bottom line, the net surplus income after the cash and capital, is supposed to show something called 1 month, the amount of which is possibly a subject for debate. But it can be brought in. I mean, you can bring money in from your surplus in the prior year if you choose. But for a station that starts the year with a deficit, it seems to me that that the definition as we're using it could mean that you generate a 1 month excess through the fiscal operating, but you might still end the year with a deficit. So when we're talking about you're trying to get to 1 month, do you mean that you don't pay back your deficit, or do you mean that you don't get excess income in the budget?
I'm saying that this year we don't have excess income our income does not exceed our expenditures for the budget by an amount equal to 1 month of expenditures. So right now our bottom line is a positive $2,290.
So basically whatever deficit you're starting the year with, you're also going to end the year with, in addition to the 1 month not a waiver thing.
Lisa? Exactly.
Lisa?
Right.
Got it. Thank you. Do you
want to
continue?
Oh, no, that was basically it. It pretty much everyone was there was just I just have to indicate that there was some concern around one of our budget lines, because this year we're in recognition that our on-air listener support is not where we'd like it to be. We wanted to begin to do some off-air things, and in recognition of that, we put $25,000 in the budget for a development consultant. So in doing that, there was some concern that, you know, in light of the fact that we're having to do staff reductions and layoffs, that we're at the same time doing, you know, putting money in there for a new person or a new development consultant. So there is some concern about that, and how at this point we have it basically financed through our existing revenue, so there was some thoughts about maybe getting, you know, taking that off, making that contingent upon the money being raised, or possibly getting some support from National in order to make that $25,000 expenditure, so that it wouldn't look like we were at the same time reducing staff but then hiring a consultant. So that, other than that, I think that was it. And also our budget does not reflect the new CPB money. which is an additional, I think comes with about an additional $27,000, of which approximately $10,000 would be restricted for national programming, but the other 17 or so would be available to meet our general expenses.
Can I ask a question? You said that, I mean, you may have said it and I may not have heard it, but in other discussions you've talked about BAI budgeting to replenish funds that were coming, that may need to come from other places in the network to meet your deficit situation. Is that budgeted in the year's expenses, or is that not going to be necessary given that stations are doing some fundraising for you in the fall?
No. Well, it's in there. $150,000 is in the budget. So
why, if I can ask, why isn't that counting towards your? I mean, why doesn't that show as your surplus? Is it because you have a budget line? I mean, the reason I'm asking this is because when we're talking about surpluses, it seems to me that does represent. Well, you understand my question, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe
yeah. Well,
you can talk about.
Right. The way we have it shown in the budget, it's under the section adjustments and capital items. So, you know, depending on how you want to show it, you could say that we had, instead of having a surplus of $2,200, we have a surplus of $152,000
exactly.
With the recognition.
Right. If we're saying, oh, you wipe out your, in terms of your, what I keep hearing is, but in these budgets, they're operating your expenses, et cetera, and so whatever you started the prior year with, it doesn't even show up in that budget unless you're slotting money into surplus prior year. So you really are generating more than you're spending, but you've got some payback obligations.
Correct.
Lonnie, can you comment on all this, and can you also comment on any issues remaining that you have with BAI's budget, or do you feel they're basically where they need to be?
Well, I did work with them around the revenue figures, and we all sort of got, you know, analyzed it and got the revenue numbers to a point where everybody was comfortable. The reductions that they had to make, they did, and I want to congratulate WBAI for working with Baruti and with Indra and with the staff there and looking at some of the difficult choices. But there's only one area left, Baruti, and perhaps we can talk about it offline. And that is the issue of how the projected cash infusion of $150,000 is shown here in the budget. Shown as an expense offset. Now, we need to talk offline because there are some permutations there. Maybe we can talk after the phone call. Didn't want to have want to be clear about what that means. Expense offset is different than an infusion of revenue because the expense offset is a reduction in expense, but the payback component of that is not an expense reduction.
So, Lonnie, can I clarify? You're saying that, sort of that's an answer to what I was just saying, because it's in there as income and then it's in there as payback, so it's actually net zero.
No, I'm saying that unless they put the revenue in, right, they have a one-sided entry. But we can talk about it offline. I may have missed
something.
Because you have an expense reduction, which is a negative $150,000 against your gross expense by improving your bottom line. However, that's very much different than showing the revenue to pay a given loan. Okay? So we'll talk about it offline.
So basically, though, in terms of you knowing for the purpose of calculating your central services contribution from I, you now feel that you know it and everybody feels that number is clear and solid?
Well, for listener support purposes, yes. But for budget purposes, we'll have to talk. I just want to be sure that we're all both on the same page around how a projected $150,000 loan and payback will actually be put into the budget. Okay?
But you're not going to be impeded in doing your national budget if you did because of VAI's not having finished this piece of it. You know what you're getting from them.
As I said, listener support, yes. But for budgetary purposes, there is a problem because if I'm right, then it will change the bottom line for the network on the budgetary side by $150,000.
Right, but when you say budgetary purposes, you mean for the consolidated budget, but for the purposes of being able to work the national office numbers, their piece of that is set.
Yes, and just over there, if they in fact need to find another some more money, then that will affect their income. Let's not go through it, but right now they're qualified, yes.
Okay. Can we do KPFK? You had some issues. Casey, can you talk about where we're at and possibly if you saw the email? First of all, how's your ankle?
Wrapped up, thank you.
Okay. Can you talk about where we're at, what we've done, and possibly the issues that Lonnie raised in the email?
Yeah. Our board met last night. They, although they have not formally approved the budget, they've endorsed our numbers, and we're now looking at the process. We're in the same situation as I think Baruti mentioned, that, you know, we went through this budget process for quite some time, and then about a week and a half ago were informed that there were these worksheets that had to go along with it and are trying to back into them and so that they meet the numbers that have been presented to the LSB. Unfortunately, you know, when we started plugging numbers into the worksheets, they started throwing some of these numbers off, and it kind of threw, for example, the related expenses in the salary line item off by almost $100,000, so I'm not sure if the calculations are correct. When I add everything up, it shows, you know, related expenses on salaries at about 38% of salaries, which, you know, doesn't seem to be a correct number. So we're kind of, so basically where we are right now is trying to maintain our, you know, the integrity of the budget that we've prepared and go kind of backwards in the process for trying to meet the paperwork requirements. And I'm not sure which email you're referring to, Dave. Are you referring to the one that was just sent out this morning?
Yeah.
Okay.
But before you do that, can you talk about the numbers? Because the top line and surplus prior year and bottom line numbers?
We are keeping our listener support projection to be stable this year at $2.85 million for three fund drives total. And which other line are we looking at?
Well, just sorry, to clarify, 2.85 is what was budgeted last year. Our actual last year was 3 in
right.
listener support, but we're taking a conservative estimate of 2.85 for this year in doing that. And then Lonnie had sent around the numbers that showed that we had $384,000 that we were putting to the surplus prior year so that we would end the year with a 1 month of, well, we said 278, and now I think
yeah.
a different number on today's thing. But what we did last night was we decided that we were going to, we talked about this issue of the related benefits and also one other expense category, and we would be able to reduce our expenses, we think, in such a way that it meets, you know, stands muster, so that we would end up balancing income and expenditure in the fiscal year and getting to the 1 month by putting a surplus prior year amount of 1 month from our surplus prior year. And one other thing, the issue that I wanted to raise is Lonnie in that email said a waiver would be required from National.
Right.
And I don't understand, Lonnie, why a waiver is required. We're meeting the 1 month bottom line.
Yeah, I don't get that either. And what it's showing on your email is a variance of $410,000 negative when we're going into this with money. and we have our expenses are not exceeding our income.
Well, we've gone over in this committee before, but let's just take those numbers. We were on the phone, you and Casey and Dave and Eva and I and Ambrose. Well, what you have with a budget we looked at is that in order to, without the 1 month prior year, I think that the budget I saw was assuming that you would take $394,000 or so from the prior year.
384, although that's changed.
Yes.
But yeah, go on.
Yeah, 384. Without it, you would have a huge deficit in this budget. That assumption of coming using prior year monies is a huge one. And we've done that. This is the first time that Kay has done it. But other stations have done it before you last year. 2 years, actually. But this is your first time. So maybe the LSP members have to understand that the monies that, you know, it's a negative number. It's an offset against expenses. But without it, you'd show a huge deficit in this budget. And, of course, the budget I have is a
Lonnie, if we took out listener support, we'd also show a huge deficit.
We're talking about coming in with, you know, almost $500,000 and being
we're talking about a budget we don't have. That's one of the pitfalls. And it's hard to point to what I'm talking about because no one has the budget before them.
Well, you have the exact same numbers we have.
I'm thinking about other people on the call.
I understand that, but I think...
Well, maybe we need to do a follow-on meeting. As you know, your board recommended. At least Eva told me that your board passed it with, looking at the major numbers, and then Eva and I were supposed to get together and try to finish off the budget. Is that correct?
We endorse those major numbers, and we do what we basically did the other day and polish that. I mean, the Finance Committee is supposed to meet with Eva and talk about these numbers, and I guess you're going to meet with Eva, and then Eva's going to basically produce out of those discussions the numbers that match those. She agreed that that's a doable thing, and that's what she wants to do. We had talked about raising listener support to match this year's actuals in order to, because the goal was let us balance this year's spending and expenditure so that, we come balanced, and then the 1 month comes from our using the surplus prior year, our existing reserve at the beginning of the year. And so we thought that was the most prudent way to go. And so as soon as she's done doing that, we'll vote to approve it.
Okay, what I've agreed to do with her, because as you all know, it's a complicated budget. And I've agreed to work on it over the weekend, and then Eva and I will be back on the phone with Ambrose on Tuesday, and she'll get the thing on Monday, and then she, I, and Ambrose will finish it off and have it available by Tuesday.
So what does that mean?
Lonnie, when you say that you're going to deal with it, do you contemplate taking items out? Or, I mean, what we're supposed to be doing, I thought,
no, we
was...
take the budget you have and try and fill in these missing components of that budget, that development worksheet, and come up with a formula that will match what that board has said they want those listener support numbers to be. And, as we talked about on the phone yesterday, so no, we're not contemplating changing the budget. All we're trying to do is have a budget.
Okay. Now, the last thing is this issue of waiver. It's not my understanding. My understanding is you need a waiver if you don't show the money in the bottom line, but our budget is going to show that money in the bottom line. So why are you contemplating a waiver?
Well, a waiver for a station is when a station can't, in its operating budget, show the 1 month and needs to draw money from prior years. And they need a waiver from the board to do that in the context of passing a budget with that prior year shown.
What you're saying is that we're not asking for a waiver to have a one-month reserve because we're going in with a one-month reserve and we're maintaining that one-month reserve at the end of the year. You're saying that we should be asking for a waiver for a one-month reserve because we want to use money earned in the prior year.
That's correct.
Is that what you're saying?
So, yeah,
well, then that would not be a waiver of a one-month reserve. We have one, we're going into with one, and we're ending with one.
Let me just say, Lonnie, so are you telling me the policy is that any insertion of money into the surplus prior year line of the budget requires a waiver? Is that the policy?
Yes. And if
we didn't get a waiver, where would that money go?
Will you answer the question?
Yeah, the answer was yes. That's what I'm saying. Now,
well, the answer is where would
Casey's question?
Where would it go?
If we did not get a waiver to put the money that we have earned from the prior year into our budget, where would it go? If you said no, you can't put it in your budget, where's the money
go? Doesn't it sit on your balance sheet?
It's not. We don't know where it is.
Well, it sits on your balance sheet.
If you look at your balance sheet on Pacifica.org, and what cash you had available at the beginning of the fiscal, that is September 3rd and October 1st, you'll see you had, I think, $394,000 in cash. That tells you how much cash you started the fiscal with, but more importantly, it tells you what your accumulation of cash has, what your prior year surplus is. It says you started the fiscal with, $300,000. And in your budget, you're now proposing to use that to balance off your budget this year.
Uh-huh.
That's really just
Lonnie.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'd like you to send me the documentation on that policy. In other words, you said the policy is that a waiver is required to include funds in surplus prior year lines. Could you send me the policy documentation on that?